So today I want to talk about, I want to round off the halachos of Kiddush. We've been talking a lot about Kiddush. So let's round off the halachos of Kiddush. And then, Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll start with the halachos of the Seudo Shabbos, of the actual meals, the three meals that we're required to eat on Shabbos. And as part of that, we'll talk about Shalosh Shudis, which is usually the most interesting, trickiest, ignored, meal of the, especially this time of year, of the three. So we'll see. It might not take us the full 45 minutes this week. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Question already. I didn't even say anything
already,
yet.
Enough,
yeah.
Because I don't think we discussed this yet.
Yes.
But as far as Kiddush that's made in Shul Friday.
Oh, interesting. Okay. You know what? I didn't think about that. I'll talk about it briefly tonight. I don't have anything in terms of the sources, but I'll mention it. You know what? I'll just mention it briefly now. Basically, it's a very old minhag. It's discussed. I mean, the earliest sources, I think, it's already in the times of the Rishonim. I don't know that it's mentioned in the Gemara. I have to do a little bit more research about it. But it's a very old minhag. The source of the minhag is that there used to be poor people who would sleep in the shul. You know, poor people who would sleep in the shul. And they would eat, whatever they would eat. And because of that, in order to, they would just be in the shul. So in order to help them fulfill their mitzvah of Kiddush, they didn't have wine, they didn't have, anything, to fulfill their mitzvah. So the custom became that the people would make Kiddush in the shul, the community would make Kiddush in the shul, essentially for these poor people, and that would be their Kiddush. You know, that they would fulfill their mitzvah of Kiddush Friday night. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we don't really have that. And anytime, we have somebody stranded, Baruch Hashem, usually they're invited out. If somebody is stranded in shul, I don't think anybody sleeps. I mean, Jay locks up. I don't know if he checks the benches, but usually I think we're, pretty much the coast is clear that we don't have people sleeping in the shul. Nevertheless, since this has been the minhag from, literally for centuries, it's been the minhag, so many, many shuls have this. I grew up with it. Many, many shuls have this custom of maintaining this custom, age-old custom, of saying Kiddush in the shul Friday night, and with a bracha, bracha bari pragafen, mekadesh haShabbos. Besides for vayichulu, but the rest of the Kiddush is the same. And then the children drink, because the person, who is ever making Kiddush, whoever davens for the amud, is still going to go home and make Kiddush, so he doesn't have to drink. If there's no children there, he can drink. He can drink a little bit, for the Kiddush. But it's a long-standing minhag, and it's a very valid custom. In fact, very often you find that that yeshivos, the minhag is only really in shuls. Yeshivos don't really have this minhag. I've never seen a yeshiva that does this Friday night. I've studied in several yeshivas, in YU, in Israel. I mean, no yeshivas ever, have ever done this minhag. Interestingly, I was part of a shul which started from people from a yeshiva. So you had, yeshiva people who got married and who lived in town, in Baltimore, and they kind of started a shul. It was all people who had learned in yeshiva and started the shul. And the rav of the shul was very adamant that if we're starting a shul, the shul should make Kiddush Friday night. He said that's a minhag of shuls, that even though in yeshiva nobody had done it for years, these people were learning in yeshiva for 5, 10 years, some of them, they had never made Kiddush. Maybe where they grew up, they did. But he said, the Rav was very, very adamant that this is a shul, and in a shul, the minhag is that we make Kiddush Friday night in shul. And, to this day, that shul, they do it. So it's a long-standing minhag.
I've only seen it in the Nusach Ashkenaz shuls.
Aha, interesting. So that I don't know. I grew up in Nusach Ashkenaz, so I'm not familiar with all the minhagim of Nusach Sfar. I don't know. Maybe they don't have the minhag.
Why did the Chazan skip the first part of Kiddush?
Why not Vayichulu?
Yeah.
So if you remember, we actually discussed that the whole reason why we say Vayichulu as part of Kiddush is really just to be motzi the people, our wives and children, who haven't heard of Kiddush. Because we already said Vayichulu in Davening. Right? We said Vayichulu in Shmona Esrei. We discussed this. We said Vayichulu in Shmona Esrei. We repeat Vayichulu after Shmona Esrei. Right? We repeat it after Shmona Esrei only because of Yom Tov, where we don't say Vayichulu as part of Shmona Esrei. That's why. And we say it at home, really only because of our wives and children who didn't say it in shul. Essentially, we were yotzei vayichulu already, right? So technically speaking, if our wives daven in shul with us Friday night, and we come home and nobody has to hear vayichulu, we could theoretically just start from Kiddush.
Or a single person. Excuse me?
Or a single man who davens in shul. Right. Now again, the minhag is that when we say Kiddush Friday night at home, we say Vayichulu. So everybody, I don't know of anybody, even if they're a single man, who doesn't say Vayichulu at home. But technically, you don't have to. So certainly in shul, where we all just said Vayichulu as part of Shemoneh Esrei, and we repeated it, we certainly don't have to say Vayichulu a third time.
So the ancillary question is, why wouldn't we say it also Shabbos day? Why wouldn't you say the Kiddush
Shabbos day?
For the same reason,
right? For the
aniyah. It's also the concept of you don't want to embarrass somebody who's poor, so you say everything in shul, so nobody is singled out. So why wouldn't that same rationale exist?
Right. Is this for Shabbos day? It's interesting. I don't know offhand.
I've never seen a shul say it, but
as part of davening.
Right.
Right. I'm trying to think. I don't remember. It's a good question. I don't remember an answer to it offhand. I mean, it could be, and you know, I mean, this is what they call more of like a balabatish answer, but it could be that just many shuls, you know, have some sort of a kiddush as part of, you know, after davening, you know, so it could be that just, you know, it wasn't necessary because usually there's some sort of a kiddush and then people are making kiddush anyway, so if there are any aniyim there, you know, they'll hear kiddush, you know, at the shul kiddush or whatever. I mean, you know, again, I don't know that that's true. I mean, I know that that's true now. I don't know that that's always been true, or for centuries, I don't know that that has been true. I don't know. Maybe it was more likely for them to get invited out during the day. I'm not sure. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I don't remember if this was covered or not. Is there any concept of referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush that it's a requirement?
I mean, it is. We do say it. Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's maybe why we have to say Kiddush at home, and it's not, you know.
What do you mean?
Yeah, but, okay.
Yeah.
There's no Suda Friday night, so there's no issue, because it's only a minute. We don't have to worry about that.
Correct, right. Since it's only a minhag, so we're not concerned about Kiddush B'makom Suda. Also, nowadays, nobody is really fulfilling their obligation of Kiddush with this Kiddush. You know, the Mavarech himself doesn't even drink. He's going to make Kiddush again at home. And the kids who drink, they don't need to really be Yotzei Kiddush anyway, and they're probably hearing it at home again anyway. For the Aniyim, whatever food they were eating, it was Kiddush B'makom Suda. You know, if they had, because, you know, presumably they were eating in the shul. Whatever they had, you know, whatever little food they had, they were going to eat in the shul, you know, after davening. So for them, it was Kiddush B'makom Suda. But nowadays, since you're right, since it's a minhag, we're not really so concerned. Nobody's really being Yotzei, their Kiddush B'makom Suda, so we're not really so concerned about that. Okay. So just to continue with, we were talking about Kiddush B'makom Suda. So last week we spoke about the general requirement that Kiddush has to be B'makom Suda. We spoke a little bit about the pragmatics in terms of the locations, and we, you know, some of the challenge. I'm still trying to look for a head there, because before I change a minhag here, you know, I really want to make sure, because if there's something to rely on, then we'll just keep it as is. So I'm still doing a little research in terms of finding a heter for a different building, you know, before, at least until we do construction to connect the social hall, and then maybe we could change it back. But so we'll see. It's still in the works in terms of that minhag. But this week I want to talk about, you know, what's a little bit more, I think, a little bit more interesting in terms of, number one, what do we have to eat at a kiddush? And if we're making kiddush in shul, you know, what do we have to eat? And number two, do we have to make Kiddush again at home? And I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, have questions about this. Do we have to? Do we not have to? Some people do, some people don't. So let's talk a little bit about the background, you know, of these issues and try to figure out, you know, what to do and what should be done. So first, let's go to the extreme, just to begin with. The extreme is really the opinion of the Gra, the Vilna Gaon. If you look at source number one, it's quoted by the Biur Halacha. It's brought in Maaseh Rav, which is the sefer that brings all of the Minhage and the Piskei Hagra. But the Biur Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim himself quotes it here, and he writes with sefer Maaseh Rav Kosav Shagra, Af Bekiddush Hayom Lo Hayom Mekadesh Ela B'Makom Suda Gemura Velo Minei Targima Oyai. The Gra was very careful that if you're making Kiddush B'Makom Suda means bread. It means challah, right? As we'll learn in the coming weeks, we're going to learn about the seudos. Seuda means challah. Nobody has Friday night. Nobody just eats a little mezonos Friday night, right? No, everybody has challah Friday night. Everybody washes. You have lecha mishnah. It's a real seuda. You know, Shabbos day, you have a real seuda. Okay, shal shudis, maybe it might be a little bit different. Perhaps we'll talk about it when we get to shal shudis, right? But certainly for two of the sudas, you need a real suda. So if they have a requirement of Kiddush B'Makom Suda, says the Vilna Gaon, that means Kiddush B'Makom Suda. That means suda. That means bread. That means challah. There's no such thing as washing and then having some mezonos, washing and having some cholent, washing and having some potato kugel. I'm sorry, making Kiddush and having, you know, mezonos, making Kiddush and having cholent or potato kugel. Doesn't exist, says the Vilna Gaon. You can't do it. Kiddush has to be B'Makom Suda. So that's the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. Very strict opinion, but it's quoted by the Bir Halacha. And there are people, believe it or not, who are makbid for this, and they won't eat at a shul kiddush. You know, not because of the kashrus, but because it's not kiddush but makam suda. Kiddush has to be makam suda. You have to wash. Some kiddushim, you know, they have like a sit down kiddush where you can wash and then you can do it. So that's great. I know my father in law davens hashkama every Shabbos. You know, not here in his shul. He davens hashkama every Shabbos. And very often they have a kiddush after hashkama, and they have rolls, right? And in the winter especially, a lot of people wash with the kiddush, and especially if it's a substantial kiddush, you know, you have, believe it or not, you can even have a fleisha kiddush after hashkama. It does happen. You know, 9:15 in the morning, everybody's sitting down to a plate of cholent, okay? But Shabbos is Shabbos, you know? So people wash, and that's their first suda. We're really their second suda of Shabbos, right? The Friday night is number one. And that's their second suda. Now when they sit down to lunch, you know, which very often is after chatzos anyway, that's shalosh shunis. So in the winter months especially, people like that kind of schedule. It's a little easier on your stomach than having to wash again for shalosh shunis, you know, an hour after you benched, following lunch. So that can be done. And if you have rolls at a kiddush, great. But if you don't have rolls at a kiddush, you're out of luck. You can't go with this gra. And as we know, the minhag ha'olam, it's very clear. You walk around to 90% of the shuls, you know, people don't have rolls at Kiddush. You have maybe some cake, maybe some mezonos, but otherwise you have cholent, you have kugel, you have, nash, whatever, other sorts of things, and gefilte fish or whatever, and the herring, you know, is a big staple at a shul Kiddush, and that's it. And you don't have rolls. So what do we rely on that we don't have rolls at a shul Kiddush? It's a Kiddush, but you need Kiddush b'makom suda. So comes the Shulchan Aruch to save the day, so to speak, and the Shulchan Aruch says, quotes the opinion of the Gaonim. And the Gaonim say, you know, when we talk about Kiddush B'Makom Su'udah, Su'udah doesn't have to mean rolls. It doesn't have to mean bread. It doesn't have to mean that. Okay? And write the Gaonim that in source number 2, Kasvu HaGaonim, Hode'ein Kiddush Ela B'Makom Su'udah, Afilu Achal Davar Mu'at. Right? Even if you eat something small, Oshasa Kos Yayin Shechayev Alav Bracha, or you have a cup of wine, right, which requires a bracha, obviously. Even if you do that, you have something small, you have a cup of wine, yatsa, yidei kiddush b'makom suda. You fulfill your obligation of kiddush b'makom suda. Doesn't have to be a full-fledged meal. Doesn't have to be a suda of pas, a suda of bread. V'gomer suda so b'makom acher. And you can finish your suda later, some other place. You could finish somewhere else. V'davka achalecha moshasa yayin, avalachal peros lo. And he says, by the way, when we talk about kiddush b'makom suda, it has to be, okay, when he says lechem here, he doesn't mean it has to be real bread, but it has to be or pasta babakisnin, right, which is what we refer to as mezonos. Cookies, cake, something like that. It should be something like that. Or wine. But you can't just have fruit. You can't just have the fruit platter, the vegetable platter. That's not good enough. It has to be either including pasta babakisnin, including mezonos, crackers or cookies or cake, or actual bread, obviously, or wine. Those are your options. Okay, so here we already have the beginnings of a kula, of some sort of a leniency, that we can make kiddush b'makom suda, even if we don't have bread proper, we don't have, you know, two rolls or two challahs or whatever that we would normally have at a suda. We see that there are other options here in terms of what to do. Now, if we would just take a step back for a second before we go a little bit more into, you know, delve a little bit more into this opinion of the Gaonim, because it seems that this is really what we rely on at a shul kiddush, so we have to understand it a little bit better. But before we do that, just to take a step back and try to understand what's this machlokas between the Vilna Gaon on the one hand, who takes the very extreme, strict approach, you have to have rolls, you have to have bread, you have to have challah, that's it, there's no option. And we have this opinion of the Gaonim that are a little bit more lenient, you can fulfill kiddush b'makom su'udah, even if you have some of these other things. You have cake, you have cookies, you have wine, you can fulfill kiddush b'makom suda that way as well. And comes Rav Soloveitchik, and this is quoted in source number 3, which is the Eretz HaTzvi, which is Rav Shechter, Rav Hershel Shechter's sefer. He quotes the teachings of his Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, and he writes that to understand this machlokas between the Gaonim who are more lenient, and the Gra and the Vilna Gaon, on the other hand, he says you really have to understand what is the requirement of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda. When we talk about this requirement of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda, that you have to make Kiddush in the same place where you're having a Seuda, what's that requirement? Is that a requirement in the Seuda? That a Seuda has to be a Seuda Shabbos has to be preceded by Kiddush, okay? At least two out of three, not Shalosh Shlis. Shalosh Shlis is its own breed, which we'll talk about another time. But let's focus on the first two, Friday night and Shabbos day. So is it a halacha in the Seuda that in order to be considered a Seuda Shabbos, it has to be preceded by Kiddush? That's a requirement in the Seuda. Or is it a requirement in the Kiddush that in order for this to be considered a significant Kiddush, that I'm making Kiddush on Shabbos, it has to be followed by a Seuda? Okay, so is it a requirement in the Seuda that it has to be preceded by a Kiddush? Or is it a requirement in the Kiddush that it has to be followed by a Seuda? And explains the Rav Shechter in the name of Rav Soloveitchik in source number 3. V'das ha-ga'onim kanireh, the opinion of the Ga'onim, de'ein tachlis ha-kiddush b'kedei likvoa ha-seuda l'shem Seuda Shabbos. According to the Ga'onim, the idea is not, it's not a requirement in the Seuda. That's not the idea of Kiddush b'makom Seuda. Ela adarabah, amiras ha-kiddush hi mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Kiddush is an independent mitzvah. Kiddush is an independent mitzvah. So why do I need Kiddush b'makom Seuda? U'b'kedei lahachshiv es yayin ha-kiddush. In order to lend significance to the Kiddush, I want to give importance to that Kiddush, significance to that Kiddush, chashivus to that Kiddush. Therefore, I have a requirement, sheyomar es ha-kiddush, says a little typo there, it says it twice, es ha-kiddush b'makom Seuda. It's a requirement in the Kiddush. So according to the Gaonim, who say that you don't need to do it on bread, you could do it on crackers or cake, you could do it on wine, anything like that, because Kiddush b'makom Seuda is not a requirement in the Seuda. It has nothing to do with the Seuda. It just has to do with lending importance, chashivus, significance to the Kiddush. When I have a Kiddush which is followed by a Seuda, that gives significance and importance and chashivus to that Kiddush. If I have a Kiddush in a vacuum, so it's not as significant. That's the nature of the requirement of Kiddush B'makom Seuda. So say the Gaonim, if that's the idea, that I just have to give some significance and chashivus to the Kiddush, so as long as I follow the Kiddush with something, I have something of significance, something of substance, I have mizonos, I have cake or cookies, I have some wine, something of significance, and we know those are more significant foods. After all, they require a bracha me'ein shalosh afterwards. You have to make an ala michya or an ala gefen following those foods, so those are foods of more significance, as opposed to eating fruits and vegetables or candy or the like, where I just make a bar and a fashos afterwards, so those are less significant foods. So therefore, say the Gaonim, that's all that's required. But how do we understand the opinion of the Vilna Gaon? The Vilna Gaon who says that no, Kiddush B'makom Seuda means it has to be bread, it has to be lechem. So suggests Rav Soloveitchik that the Vilna Gaon understands that Kiddush B'makom Seuda is a requirement in the Seuda. It's a requirement in the Seuda Shabbos. That in order to be considered a Seuda Shabbos, the Seuda, the meal, has to be preceded by wine. The meal has to be preceded by Kiddush. If that's the case, then of course the two are intimately connected, meaning the requirement of Kiddush and the requirement of the Seuda Shabbos. A regular, pure Seuda Shabbos, we know, has to be made over lechem ish, has to be made over bread, over lechem. So that's why the Vilna Gaon requires bread, requires lechem, whereas the Gaonim, who are more lenient, require just something of significance, mizonos, cake, cookies, or wine, whatever the case might be, because according to them, it's not a requirement in the Seuda, it's a requirement in the Kiddush. That's the way that the Rav understands it. By the way, if we think about this type of understanding, you know, is this requirement of Kiddush B'makom Seuda a requirement of the Seuda or a requirement of the Kiddush, we can also begin to understand if a person has to repeat Kiddush when they get home, if they eat in a shul Kiddush. If you understand that the Kiddush is a requirement of a Seuda, so if this is a real Seuda, now again, it might depend on were we Yotze the Seuda when we had our Mizonos or whatever over here. But you know, but if you say it's a halacha in the Seuda, so maybe if I'm having my real Seuda Shabbos, I have to repeat Kiddush. Again, it gets a little tricky because then, you know, well, was I Yotze with my Seuda at the Shul Kiddush or was I not? We'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you understand that Kiddush B'makom Seuda is just a halacha in Kiddush, right? So I was Yotze my Kiddush already. I made Kiddush in Shul. I was Yotze my Kiddush. I had something of substance following the Kiddush. That's it. I was yotzei my kiddush. Why do I have to know now go when I go home and I have my and I wash and I have my lecha mishnah and my chalent and whatever? Why do I have to make kiddush again? I fulfilled my kiddush. I fulfilled my mitzvah of kiddush. I only have a mitzvah to make kiddush once Shabbos. I fulfilled my mitzvah of kiddush. I had something of significance following that kiddush. That's it. I'm yotzei. No problem. So we'll see a little bit more about that. As we proceed through this year, but that's kind of a theoretical or conceptual, framework to understand these the different opinions here as to what Kiddush B'Makom Suda requires. So that's basically we're relying on the opinion of the Gaon, and that's what's happening here. Because if you want to take the opinion of the Vilna Gaon seriously, you're basically out of luck, and you can't have a shul Kiddush unless you wash right afterwards. So we're pretty much relying on the opinion of the Gaonim. So because of that, let's try to understand a little bit more about this opinion of the Gaonim as to what exactly is required. Yeah.
So why don't you just do both? This one you meet both criteria. You do the Kiddush, and you have your whatever, whether it's
right.
You're doing your meal or not taking care of your obligation
right.
of meal, and then when you get home...
Okay, so, right. Right, so the only problem is that, and this throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into it, which, we'll touch on in a few minutes as well, is that there's also a prohibition that I'm not allowed to eat before Kiddush, right? One of the reasons why the rabbi makes Kiddush in the shul, right, why don't I just go and make Kiddush in the social hall? So there are two reasons why a rabbi might do that. In many shuls, the rabbis make Kiddush in the shul. Two considerations. Consideration number one is that a person is not allowed to eat before making Kiddush. Now what's going to happen if you release, and I'm using that word loosely, if you release a room full of Jews after Shabbos davening into a room full of food, right? Chances are that, it's going to be hard to wait for the rabbi to make Kiddush. I'll just have one little cracker, I'll have one little cracker. I'll just tell you a funny story. Last night I was at the Ohel dinner. They honored Rabbi Lehrfeld from Staten Island for his rabbinic leadership. So my wife and I went to honor Rabbi Lehrfeld. So we went to the Ohel dinner, and after Rabbi Lehrfeld's presentation, so we kind of snuck out. We didn't stay for the rest of the program. We left after Rabbi Lehrfeld's after Rabbi Lehrfeld spoke. So when we went out into the lobby, on our way out, it was at the Marriott Marquis in the city. So we went out into the lobby. So they were setting up the dessert tables. Now, you have to be careful. You're setting up dessert tables with Jews nearby. You have to be very careful. So each dessert table had a waiter. I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. Each dessert table that they set up in the lobby had a waiter who was stationed as like a security guard to make sure that nobody would eat from the dessert tables before they were open. I'm not exaggerating. Literally, every single table. So, and you know what happened? So somebody went over and they took a cookie. So they had, the maitre d' or whatever, the caterer went over to the person and said, "I'm sorry, sir, the table's not open." "Well, can I just take one more cookie?" "No, sir, the table's not open. Just one cookie?" "No." So I'm not exaggerating too much when I talk about this. So one consideration is that, people might eat before Kiddush, right? That's one of the considerations. One of the problems is also that people might miss the Kiddush. If the rabbi goes and make Kiddush, you have some of the stragglers who might miss Kiddush, and then they'll again. But again, the issue, the concern here is that people might eat without hearing Kiddush. And you can't do that. You can't eat without hearing Kiddush Shabbos morning. I'm not talking about before davening. Before davening, we spoke about that you can have a cup of coffee or you can have some water or whatever before davening because the obligation of Kiddush hasn't started yet until you daven. But once you daven, now I finish davening, I have an obligation to make Kiddush. I can't eat until I hear that Kiddush. So that's part of the challenge. So according to the Gra who holds that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush B'Makom Suda unless you wash, basically when you go to the shul Kiddush and you now make Kiddush and you have a piece of cake, according to the Gra, you're doing something wrong. Because you weren't Yotzei your Kiddush, right? Because you're not Yotzei Kiddush unless it's B'Makom Suda. So you're not Yotzei Kiddush, and now I'm eating cake without hearing Kiddush, essentially, according to the Gra. So that's why it's hard to be Yotzei both opinions. So sometimes we'd like to try to do that, but it's a little challenging to do that in these circumstances.
Historically, the Gaonim's opinions were
preceded the Gra. Yeah.
Preceded the
Gra. The Gaonim basically refers to rabbis that preceded even the Rishonim. Right? The Gaonim were between the Amoraim and the Rishonim. So the Amoraim were the rabbis of the Gemara, and then the Rishonim were lived in the medieval times. Rashi, the Rambam, Tosfos, those Rishonim, the Ramban, that was times of the Rishonim. The Gaonim were are a lesser known group of rabbis, but they lived in between the Amoraim. You have Rav Nissim Gon and the Sheiltos as Rav Hai Gon and the Baal HaLachos Kedolos, some major works from that time period. And apparently there was some sort of a consensus, because it just calls them the Gaonim. It doesn't identify any particular one, but that could be seen. But the Gra was not afraid to argue with anyone.
The
Gra was an Acharon. I mean, the Gra lived in the 1700s, right? The 1700s. So, but the Gra wasn't afraid. The Gra, you know, because of his incredible status and stature, basically was one of the few Acharonim who argued on Rishonim, and that the Jewish community as a whole took his opinion very seriously, despite the fact that he was arguing with Rishonim. You know, most artists.
Anything that you found in the literature that suggested why he took this?
Why the Gra took this approach?
And basically took on the Gaonim.
Right. I didn't see anything in particular. I think the Gra was known to take things, you know, at face value, and the Gemara talks about Kadosh B'makom Suda. Suda is a Suda. Yeah.
I was going to say that the verbiage is Kadosh B'makom Suda.
Right.
Suda is the important part.
Right, and that's it. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
So if we say that the Seuda needs the Kiddush,
mm-hmm.
so then Shal Shudas wouldn't have to, we would have to make Kiddush.
Okay, well, we'll talk about Shal Shudas. Yeah, I mean, let's forget about Shal Shudas. Shal Shudas is a whole different, like I said, it's a whole different breed. So we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks when we get to it. But let's just focus on the first two. But I hear what you're saying. Conceptually, you're right. There is an opinion, by the way, that says that you make Kiddush and Shal Shudas. We obviously don't do it, but there is an opinion like that. Okay, so let's focus on this opinion of the Gaonim. And again, they say that you can fulfill Kiddush B'makom Suda even if you don't have a full-fledged bread meal. You have, you know, as the Shulchan Aruch said, you have some pas, some lechem, or some yayin. Those were the two things that he mentioned. Now, lechem we expanded to mean not just bread per se, but anything that's called pasta b'vakisnim, which is cookies, cake, crackers, things like that, that's a whole shiur, you know, unto itself, what exactly is pasta b'vakisnim, but let's assume something of that nature, you know, cookies, crackers, and cake. How much do you have to eat? So the Shulchan Aruch wrote, afilu achal davar mu'at. That was the language in source number 2. What's a davar mu'at? So comes the Mishneh Berurah and tells us, in source number 4, hainu al kol panim shiur kezayis, at least a kezayis, an olive's worth. A little bit hard to gauge exactly what that is in contemporary times, but let's estimate. I think I mentioned this once. If you estimate like one of those small matchboxes, you know, not the big ones with the 250 matches, but like those small matchboxes, you know, like I would call it a standard size matchbox. You know, the small matchboxes. If you would grind up the food and and pack it in there, what would fit in there? That's approximately the size of a kezayis, the size of an olive. It's not that much. High school boys have a tendency to eat, I have to eat a kezayis, so I need three pieces of cake. It's an exaggeration, it's not that much. But at least a sheer kezayis, the high shechayiv alav bracha, atarvayu kai. When we talk about that a bracha is required, so we are also a bracha acharona, right? You're only obligated to make a bracha rishona, we make before eating any amount of food. You taste a little bit of food, you have to make a bracha rishona. Bracha Acharon is only made after a kezayis, so that's why the shear for Kiddush B'makom Suda would be a kezayis of mezonos. So right now, according to this, it would seem that everyone, if you want to fulfill your obligation of Kiddush B'makom Suda, you hear Kiddush from the rabbi in shul, you go next door, and you have to have a kezayis of mezonos. I don't even know if we have a kezayis of mezonos in there for everyone, but you have to have a kezayis of some cake, cookies, crackers, something of that nature, in order to fulfill the requirement of Kiddush B'makom Seuda. Now, are there any other options?
But not a lot of people go there and make their own Kiddush. So would that be they yotze with your Kiddush?
Yeah.
They go make their own Kiddush, quote unquote.
So what do they make? That's redundant. If they're yotze with my Kiddush, they don't have to make their own Kiddush.
Right, but usually people do.
So then that means they're not yotze with my Kiddush.
Right, maybe they didn't think they want to be yotze with your Kiddush.
Meaning if a person is planning on going next door and making their own Kiddush, and that's assumed that they're not being yotze with my kiddush. You don't need to hear two kiddushes.
Right. So my question is, yeah, that grape juice that they drink.
Okay. So hold on a second. So let's focus on that for a second. So right now we just talked about the mezonos. Right. Right. Okay. Good. So the Shulchan Aruch did say, oshasa yayin. Right. He said that oshasa kos yayin shechayav alav bracha. Okay. Kos yayin. So how much is that? So writes the Mishnah Berurah, how much wine do I have to drink? Or let's say grape juice for our purposes. Wine or grape juice do I have to drink? Bracha, so says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 5, Hainu Kishir Revius. You have to drink a Revius. In order to make a Bracha Acharona, we need a significant amount. So in order to make a Bracha Acharona, you need a Revius. Now Revius is, again, depending on how you judge this, we've spoken about it a couple times, but somewhere from 2.9 to 5.1 ounces. I saw today Rabbi Daniel Neustadt from, I think he's from Cleveland, so he gives a share of 3.3 fluid ounces, somewhere in that vicinity. Let's say 3 ounces. I know my Rav from Baltimore always said 3 ounces, so I guess he was going with that 2.9 share. So let's say 3 ounces of grape juice or wine. Now, interestingly, if you look at source number 4, so first of all, he says that it's only mezonos or wine or grape juice. Right? When I say wine, I mean wine or grape juice. It's only mezonos or wine, but you can't use anything else. You know, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch already said you can't use fruit, right? Fruit or vegetables that doesn't work. Mishnah Berurah himself says also any other type of liquid, whether it's even if it's chamar medina, right? But you can't use that as your seuda for kiddush b'makom seuda. Now we talked about making kiddush on schnapps. That's a different discussion. But if I make kiddush on wine, let's say, and now I want to have a cup of coffee, that doesn't work. That's not kiddush b'makom seuda, right? It has to be, you know, for my seuda, it has to be wine. He does bring the Mishnah Berurah in source number 6. If you look at the end of the second line, vayin bechidushir hagon Rabbi Kiva Eger b'tosu Shabbos shochichu delekama rishonim ina yotzei de kiddush b'makom seuda ide kos yayin. This idea that you could be yotzei kiddush b'makom seuda with a cup of wine is not a consensus opinion about this. There are many of you shown them that hold that does not work. You cannot use a cup of wine as your kiddush b'makom seuda, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah actually is a little bit machmir about it. He writes, "V'alkei nira she'ein lahakel bazeh ela b'makom adchak." You really shouldn't rely on this unless you have to. So what I would say on using wine for the seuda, meaning kiddush b'makom seuda, it's not ideal.
Are you using the wine as the seuda?
Correct. So again, so let's say we're talking about the shul kiddush. The ideal thing to do, the best thing to do, is to be. You hear kiddush, you yotzei kiddush. Now you go next door and to have a kazayas of mezonos. That's the best thing to do. Cake, cookies, crackers, something like that. That's the best thing to do. To have a kazayas, and again, a kazayas not that much. You know, a couple cookies or something like that, or a piece of cake is it going to be a kazayas? So that's the ideal. If you can't do it, either because you don't like the cake or let's say there's no more cake, right? You got there, it took you 3 minutes to get to the kiddush and now the cake's gone. So if that's the case, so then you can certainly, that's considered a b'makom hadchak, you have nothing to do. So then you can rely and you can have at least, I would drink 3 ounces of grape juice, to be yotzei your requirement of kiddush b'makom seuda. If you don't do any of those things, so then, right now, we're a little stuck because you haven't fulfilled Kiddush B'makom Seuda according to the Gaonim. You're a little stuck. We'll talk about it in a second maybe there's an option. Yeah.
What if you made your Kiddush on schnapps,
mm-hmm.
and then for the Seuda, drank wine?
So again,
the concern or the consideration is you don't want one thing to fulfill two functions, and therefore not going to allow the wine to fulfill the Seuda requirement because you're
right.
Using it for the kiddush. So if I do the kiddush on schnapps and then hold
right.
the wine as my Seuda,
right.
it's a separate component.
Okay, so the only problem is that you're making an assumption that that's their objection. Your assumption is that their objection is that you're using the same, medium. You're using the same vehicle for kiddush and for the seuda. I'm not convinced that's their objection. I don't remember inside. I don't remember what the Rishonim's objection is. I think it's more along the lines that just a cup of wine is nice, but that's not a seuda. Meaning a seuda means if you're not going to have bread, at least you have mezonos. At least you have something, something of substance. Not just that you're drinking. We're not on a liquid diet here.
I thought it tailed into the nature of the bracha that you would have to say afterwards, so that it would be a bracha achrona,
as opposed to
a bracha nefasho.
Correct.
Which you would fulfill
the
suda is.
So that's working with the opinion that wine works, but the opinion in the Rishonim that wine does not work. I don't know that the objection. I have to do a little more research to find out exactly what their objection is. I'm not sure that their objection is that. If their objection is what you're saying, that it's just you're using the same thing for both, then I hear what you're saying. in terms of using the schnapps and then drinking wine, perhaps that would be good. I have to do a little more research about that. Yeah.
So in other words, what's the opinion that says that wine is with the sukkah? So you drink wine, you drink one glass of wine.
Right.
Now you drink a second glass of wine.
Yeah, so you know what? So it's interesting. There is some literature that suggests that really has to be two separate cups. You have one, you're making kiddush, but that's for your kiddush. So you drink a mali lugmav, let's say we said, to be yotzei kiddush, you have to drink a cheekful to be yotzei kiddush. So you drink your cheekful, now you're yotzei kiddush. But now you have to fulfill the suda requirement. So the suda requirement requires you to drink 3 ounces of wine. Now, my Rav always said that you don't have to do that, just drink 3 ounces of wine. Meaning, if you drink, you know, you'll drink your mali lugmav. If you want to be extra careful, you can drink 4 or 5 ounces of grape juice, you know, so that way you have your mala lugma for the kiddush, and then you have your kiddush from Malkum Suda. I don't know that it has to be two separate cups. You know what I mean? As I have a mala lugma, I'm yotzei kiddush. Now I drink 3 additional ounces to fulfill my obligation of kiddush from Malkum Suda. You know, otherwise I don't have to drink the whole cup, right? I could just fulfill my obligation of kiddush with just a cheekful. So I'm not sure. I think there are those who say it has to be a separate cup. I don't know if it means an actual separate cup, but you just have to drink more than you normally would drink. You know, you're drinking part because you're drinking just a cheekful for the kiddush part, and then you have to drink, you know, the 3 ounces or whatever for the suda part. Yeah.
Is there any concept of not having a interruption between the kiddush and the suda?
So yes and no. They should be in proximity, but there's you don't. It's not like you can't talk between one and the other. I mean, even when we make kiddush at home, we make kiddush. You know, you're allowed to talk between kiddush and hamotzi. We don't talk between after we wash, but you know, there's no prohibition that you're not allowed to talk between kiddush and hamotzi. You know, it doesn't exist. You should try to do them, you know, quickly. Like it shouldn't be that you make kiddush and then you schmooze for an hour and then you make hamotzi. You know, that is true. There is, it should be in some sort of time proximity. Yep. Okay, now it's interesting. The question is raised. You know, we discussed pasavah b'kisnin, like cake, cookies, you know, crackers, things like that. What about lakshin kugel? Right? What about lakshin kugel? So it's also mizonos, but it's not pasavah b'kisnin, right? And, you know, this is very common, by the way, in Israel. Many, you know, very, very popular kiddush food is the Yerushalmi kugel. You know, the Israeli Yerushalmi kugel, that dark, they like to cut it into a triangle. You know, this like dark triangular piece of Yerushalmi kugel, and they serve it with a pickle. I don't know if I remember this from my yeshiva days. But that's like a big Israeli thing, especially at a kiddush, is the Yerushalmi kugel. So are you yotzei kiddush makom sudu with Yerushalmi kugel? It's not pasta baba kisnin, and again, without getting into a whole shiur about pasta baba kisnin, but it's not cake, cookies, or crackers. It's a dish. It's a cooked dish, right? So are you yotzei with that? So it's interesting. The Rav Simcha Burim Cohen in his sefer in source number 7 writes that he wasn't sure about this. He wasn't sure, but he stopped but inan davka pasavah b'kisnin meheminim odesagim b'minit targimo kibok kigon kugel. Right, he writes out kugel. You know, I'm not sure. Does kugel work? Or you need actual, you know, pasavah b'kisnin like cake or cookies? So he said he heard v'shamati me Rav Sheinberg. He heard from Rav Sheinberg. He wrote shlita. I wrote zatzal because he passed away. Desagim afilu b'minit targimo. Rav Sheinberg says that Rav Sheinberg apparently held that even if you have kugel, you know, Yerushalmi kugel, that you're also yotzei with that. Again, it has to be mizonos kugel. You can't have potato kugel, because that's just a bar in a fashos. But about a mizonos kugel, you have a lakshin kugel or Yerushalmi kugel, something like that, which is just a substantial kugel, you can be yotzei with that as well. Now, are there any other options? Let's say that, for example, you know, I don't want to have grape juice, or I don't want to... I can't have the 3 ounces of grape juice, or I can't have the mizonos. You know, are there any other options for me just to go into a kiddush and have a bowl of cholent? And then what? So is that okay? So the only heter, I think, for that, the only real allowance for that was, you know, as you see, it's not really the opinion of the Gaonim. So the only real heter for that is based on Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe, in source number 8, writes that he says it's possible. Again, we talked about two things before. We talked about kiddush b'makom suda. There's also a requirement, there's also that prohibition that you're not allowed to eat before making kiddush. You're not allowed to eat before making kiddush. So Rav Moshe entertains, without reading through the whole tshuva in source number 9, Rav Moshe entertains that perhaps, what's going on here is that really the Gaonim, what they're saying, is not so much that you fulfill kiddush b'makom suda. not so much that you fulfill Kiddush B'Makom Suda, but that once you make Kiddush, right, once you make Kiddush, that basically enables you to eat something after Kiddush, right? So I make Kiddush, and I eat something after Kiddush. Let's just read a little bit in source number 8. He writes, V'lachein lulei demistafina, right, if I wasn't afraid, I would say the following. Ha'isi omer de'in kavanos ha'ga'onim de'yotzi yidei Kiddush le'gamrei, she'yucha lecho me'yata af b'makom acher, u'la'achar ezo shos. He says it doesn't mean that you completely fulfill your obligation of Kiddush according to the Ga'onim. He says, they say, no, in order to fulfill your Seuda, you actually have to have bread at some point later. What they're saying is that there's a heter to drink wine even without eating bread once I make Kiddush. According to what he's saying, according to the Gaonim, when I make Kiddush in Shul, all that's really doing is enabling me to eat. That's all it's really doing. It's allowing me to eat something because I'm not allowed to eat after Kiddush. So I make Kiddush, and now I'm allowed to eat. But you don't fulfill the obligation, really, of Kiddush B'Makom Seuda if I just, have something small. Okay? According to that, even if you have mezonos or whatever, right, it's Rav Moshe. According to that, he says you would have to make Kiddush again when you have your meal later. So again, according to Rav Moshe, the way he's understanding it is that essentially you're not really fulfilling Kiddush B'Makom Suda when I have a shul Kiddush, according to the Gaonim. All it's allowing me to do is it's allowing me to get out of this prohibition of eating before Kiddush, because I made Kiddush, so now I can eat, right? But you're not really fulfilling your Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Okay? So therefore, when I get home now, according to Rav Moshe, I got to make Kiddush again. Right? Because I wasn't really Yotze Kiddush B'Makom Suda. According to the way we were understanding before, when I have my mezonos, let's say, at the Kiddush in Shul, I have my piece of cake, that's really my Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So therefore, when I go home later, we said, you don't really have to make Kiddush again. Right? Once I have my mezonos, I have my piece of cake, I have made my Kiddush, I have my piece of cake, I was Yotze Kiddush B'Makom Suda. I go home later, I have to wash, because I have to have Lechem Mishnah, and I have to have my chiyuv of having cholent on Shabbos, right? But that's a totally separate thing. I don't have to make Kiddush again according to what we said earlier. But now according to Rav Moshe, he says, no, the Kiddush in Shul, isn't, you're not really fulfilling Kiddush B'Makom Suda. All it's allowing you to do is it's allowing you to eat with that, it's Kiddush enough to allow you to eat. But I didn't fulfill Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So now later, when I sit down and I have my bread meal, I have my challahs, now I have to make Kiddush again, according to this approach. And I just want to conclude with another idea of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik also was bothered by this minhag that we have of making a Kiddush in Shul. You know, Rav Soloveitchik also was very into the Gra, he was very, very into the Vilna Gaon. So he took the Vilna Gaon Shita very seriously. He said, Vilna Gaon holds you have to have bread. So how do we have this minhag nowadays that everybody is just eating at a shul kiddush without washing? What's going on? So Rav Soloveitchik actually said that our minhag is really based on a combination of leniencies, combination of shitos, kind of like a sfeik sfeiker for those who are familiar with that concept. Now, what's the idea? Maybe, says Rav Soloveitchik, and this we're not going to read it inside, it's source number 9, but says Rav Soloveitchik, maybe we don't really paskin like the Gra. Maybe we paskin like the Gaonim, that you don't need bread. Okay? And also, maybe we paskin like there's an opinion of the Ravid, another one of the Rishonim, who holds that you're allowed to eat before Kiddush. You're allowed to eat before Kiddush on Shabbos day. You don't have to wait. Now, we don't obviously practice like that, but he says maybe it's the combination of these two options. Maybe we paskin like the Gaonim that you don't need really, that for Kiddush B'Makom Suda, you don't need bread. And maybe we pass them like the Rav, you can really eat before Kiddush. And therefore, says Rav Soloveitchik, that's what our minhag is based on, that we eat at a shul Kiddush. Not that we're just passing like the Gaonim and forgetting about the Gra, but it's the combination of these two leniencies. But again, according to Rav Soloveitchik, you would have to make Kiddush again at your lunch meal, right? Because, again, this is all based, the minhag of making Kiddush and shul is based on two leniencies. So you don't want to just rely on that, so you would have to make Kiddush again at your lunch meal. It's a little bit of a chiddush of how to understand this, but according to him, you would have to make Kiddush again. So again, just to summarize the bottom line in the last 60 seconds here, the ideal thing to do at a Kiddush, the ideal thing to do is to, when we hear Kiddush, we're Yotzei Kiddush, and then the ideal thing to do is have a kezayis of cake, crackers, cookies, something of that nature, some kind of substantial mezonos. According to Rav Scheinberg, even kugel, you know, a lakshin kugel would also suffice, a kezayis. You know, a piece of lakshin kugel is certainly a kezayis. If you don't have that, then the second best thing to do is to have at least 3 ounces of grape juice. Now, grape juice or wine to fulfill your obligation of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Technically speaking, according to the strict opinion of the Gaonim and Rav Shlomo Zalman held this way also, you don't have to make Kiddush again when you get home. Right? You heard Kiddush in Shul, you had your Kiddush B'Makom Suda, you don't have to make Kiddush again. By the way, if you didn't eat anything, let's say I just had Cholet. I heard the rabbi's Kiddush, and I just had Cholet. So, you may not have violated the prohibition of eating before Kiddush because you heard the rabbi's Kiddush. But you certainly weren't Yotzei Kiddush B'Makom Suda if you just had cholent or you had the fruit platter, vegetable platter. So then you would certainly have to make Kiddush again at home. Okay? If you want to fulfill the opinions of Rav Moshe and the opinions of Rav Soloveitchik, either way, even if you have mezonos at the Kiddush, you have a kezayis of mezonos, you would still have to make Kiddush at home again as a chumrah to fulfill those opinions, which is why many people, myself included, I always make Kiddush again at home. They say even Rav Shlomo Zalman, who himself held that it was okay not to, he himself did it. That's what they say, that Rav Shlomo Zalman himself did make Kiddush again at home. You don't lose anything, it's just a bar p'agaf, you don't lose anything by making Kiddush again at home, so there certainly is room to do it. But, as again, if you had your mezonos at Kiddush, and you had 3 ounces of grape juice at Kiddush, technically speaking, you don't have to make Kiddush again when you get home. That's it for Kiddush. Yirtzeh Hashem, next week, we'll talk about the Seudos and the requirement of Lecha Mishnah. Have a wonderful evening.